aging is a problem we can actually solve rather than an inevitable part of life?
So for me, it's the other way around. What I came to believe rather late in life, around the age of 28 or so, was that other people don't think that. To me, it's completely inexplicable that the general view of aging is that it's somehow woven into the fabric of the universe and, you know, that it's inherently immutable. Because it's completely obvious that the body is a physical thing. It's like a machine, right? And as such, it inflicts damage upon itself in the course of its normal operation, same as any simple machine like a car. And preventative maintenance is a well-proven way to transcend the warranty period of simple man-made machines. So it's completely obvious that it should also work with sufficiently sophisticated maintenance on a really complicated machine like the human body. And until I met and married a biologist when I was 26, 27, I had never, it was so inconceivable to me that anyone could possibly not think this, that I'd never done the experiment of actually discussing it with anybody. My first wife was a biologist and actually a lot older than me. She was already a senior professor. And it just gradually dawned on me that we were never talking about aging. So I started raising the topic, and that was when this terrible revelation happened. And eventually, after a couple of years of coming to terms with it, I decided I had to switch fields. I was doing quite well in my previous field, which was artificial intelligence research. But I was only doing that because I felt that it's a shame that we have to spend so much of our time doing stuff that we would not do unless we were being paid for it. The problem of work is an actual problem. But the problem with aging is quite clearly a very much more serious problem that causes much more suffering and death and so on. So that's why I switched.
And speaking of AI, do you think how are them these two different fields potentially combining together in a positive way? How do you think AI will improve our chances of anti-aging and longevity?
Yeah, AI research and AI now is a completely different beast than what it was back when I was working on in the 1980s. And now, of course, it actually works. You can do a lot with AI, but it was a big shock that AI works as well as it does. Yes, so AI is very much already integrated into biomedical research in general, not just in aging. We've got probably still the most conspicuous example is this thing called AlphaFold, which determines the three-dimensional shape of a protein from its amino acid sequence. That was an absolutely massive breakthrough that enormously speeds up all manner of biomedical research. So that was huge. There are lots and lots of things, ways to use AI to discover drugs, to build new molecules, you know, even to change the amino acid sequence of a protein dramatically so that it does its job better than it previously does. This is something that made great progress in the past several months, actually. Yeah, huge applications.
And what about nanotech? How's that potentially going to benefit the longevity movement?
The word nanotechnology has gone through a whole bunch of different definitions. I don't really think about nanotech as a thing. The original definition of it revolved around what was called atomically precise molecular manufacturing. And it's definitely an exciting field of research, but it's still very much at square one. There's a huge amount of fundamental advances that has to be made before it gets on anyone's radar in terms of application. Then at the other end of the spectrum, people have started using the word nanotechnology to be synonymous with nanomaterials, which basically just means small particles. There's plenty of that going on. So, for example, there's a company that I'm quite close to named Nanotics, which manufactures particles that go into the circulation and that bind to stuff in the circulation that we'd like to get rid of. And they're very cleverly designed in terms of their actual structure, so that they don't have side effects that would happen with simpler molecules. This is something that I guess you could call nanotechnology.
Yeah. And is for increasing our longevity and anti-aging, is it likely going to be a drug? What kind of technology do you think it's going to be? Like yep. Thing, mechanism or something like that?
So my answer to that actually pretty much explains the emphasis that I'm taking at ALEV Foundation in terms of what studies we're doing. Aging is a really complicated thing. It consists of a whole bunch of ways in which the body damages itself in the course of its normal operation. And then, of course, the types of damage that it does to itself are different. which means that the methods that we have to develop to eliminate that damage are also different. So adding all that up, basically what it means is that the way we're really going to bring aging under proper medical control is by a divide and conquer approach, by doing a lot of different things to the same people at the same time. And then we have to ask, what are those things? Some of them will be straightforward drugs, but many of them will not. Many of them will be gene therapies, cell therapies, immune therapies, a more complicated thing. Now, that's not to say that it will really look different from the point of view of the recipient, the patient, because basically nearly everything that we're talking about will be injectable. In other words, in the same way that the MMR vaccine, people think of it as just a vaccine. It's actually three vaccines for different things, just that we administer them all at the same time. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we end up with single injections being given to people that have 300 things in them. But that's the direction we're going. But the main thing is that it's not just going to be things that you can take as pills.